In case you missed it, the Wicked Women series will begin next week. Okay, so this will finalize and finish up our series that we're doing on cussing Christians. And I think it's been a very successful series. How many of us have caught ourselves at least attempting to change our language a little bit? You know, we're just caught ourselves and we're trying to do something about it. If that's you, look at this. This is great. This is great. I don't know if I've ever done a series that many people responded to that well. My goal has been just to get us thinking about it. I know that if we ever just think about what we're saying and what we're doing, we're going to do something about it. We're going to attempt to change it. I want to just know where it came from out of us. It came out of the heart. Jesus says it's from the man's heart. Abundance of a heart that your mouth speaks, and from the treasures comes out evil things, and from the treasures of the heart comes out good things. I wanted us to know that. I wanted us to know what cussing does in our lives, how it defiles our lives, and how it messes our lives up. We're going to talk more about that today. I wanted to know what it does to our families and to our children. And I think we've covered most of these things, and I wanted us to know what it did to our witness in the kingdom of God. So, listen, there's just no good reason to cuss. There really isn't. And that's what I'm going to try to hammer on today just a little bit. So I want to read this scripture to us. It's in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, and verse 15. And here's what it says. But in your hearts, and we've talked a lot about the hearts in our series. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Now, I want to stop right there because I want to get you to say that back to me. Would you please say that back to me? Give the reason. Would you say that back to me on the count of three? Let's all say it together. One, two, three. Give the reason. We should be able to give the reason for the hope that was in us, that is in us. But we also should be able to give the reasons for what we do in the things of the kingdom of God. But do this with gentleness and respect. Now watch this part. Keeping a clear conscience. So that those who speak maliciously, mean things about you, maliciously against your good behavior in Christ, may be ashamed of their slander. Can you give me a good reason to use profanities and blasphemies, swearing, obscenities, vulgarities, slander? Can you give me one? You can't. And I don't care if you're a casual cursor or if you're a causal cursor. And today we're going to be talking about the chronic cursor a little bit. I don't care where you are. You can't come up with a good reason to curse. Now, what is that? And I know some of you haven't been here during our series. What is a casual cursor? A person who casually cusses is a person who just cusses all the time. They don't even realize sometimes they're cussing. We're going to talk about that later. They just say cuss words. They don't care who's around. They don't care. It's part of their vocabulary. They don't think. They just say it. Now, we're going to talk about chronic cusser in just a second, but a casual cusser, a person who cusses, they don't cuss casually, but something will happen, a frustration, an irritation, an aggravation, or something like that will come along and kind of catch them by surprise, and then they'll cuss. It'll pull a cuss trigger, push the cuss button, and they'll say it. So I don't care what you are, you can't give me a good enough reason to cuss. Now, and especially when we start thinking about keeping our conscience clear. Can you cuss and have a good conscience, a good, clear conscience? I can't. I can't even get angry. I'm not much less say some things. You know, if I just get angry, my conscience convicts me. And I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have acted that way. I make facial expressions that convicts me. You know? Don't look at me like that. You know, I didn't even know what that was. But I'm just saying that you can't do these things and have a clear conscience. And what do people that hear us, what do they think? What are their thoughts when they hear us Christians cussing? Oh yeah, I'm that good. You know, I don't even say that. You know, what do you do? See? And so what I want us to see is there's a better way of expressing ourselves. There's better ways to express ourselves than cussing. And this is what I'm really after and want us to get today. And that's our title, is there's a better way than cussing. There's a better way. So, this is what we're talking about. Now, we can all make fools of ourselves. And we're good at it sometimes, you know. But there's a better way of making a fool of ourselves than cussing. Although cussing is a really good way to do it. See, when we're attempting to express ourselves sometimes, what people will do is use a profanity as an exclamation point. You know, they're trying to use it to express themselves in a better way. But what cussing does is it really expresses more about your person and your character than cussing does to express the point you're really wanting to make. Let me explain. Have you ever just been cussed? I mean, maybe a superior or somebody just doesn't like you and they just go off on you. Or maybe somebody in a car, you know, some fool in a car making a fool of himself, you know, just going off and raging, having rage at you, a car rage, you know. But no matter what happens, you know, when you're there and you're enduring the tirade of somebody cussing you and going off on you, see, you're not hearing their point. Here's what's happening. When they're railing on you with obscenities and perversities and, you know, and blasphemies, and they're railing on you, what you're saying, you might be looking at them, and you may be pretending you're listening, but what you're really doing is you're saying, I detest you. I hate you. As soon as I can get away from you, I will. And if I ever have an opportunity to get really away from you, I will. Why is that? It's because what they have expressed to you is their character. What they have expressed to you is the fool that they are. What they have expressed to you is the person, not the point. And we've got to remember that in our own lives. When we cuss our spouse, when we cuss our children, when we cuss somebody going down the road, what we're doing is not expressing our point. We're expressing our character. We're being a fool. And we've got to hold on to that thought and realize that. So what I'm after today, what I'm really wanting to terminate this series on and talking about, is what I'm wanting us to get a hold of here, is there's just a better way than cussing. Now, so let's look at a scripture. It's in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 1. It says, better. So there's a better way. Better a poor man whose walk is blameless. Better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. What does that mean? Anything's better than cussing. Anything is better than make a fool of yourself cussing. It's better to be poor than to make a fool of yourself, an absolute fool of yourself, cussing and using perversities out of your mouth. So what I want to do is I want to look at about four different thoughts concerning this better way than cussing and how we can kind of deal with it and find life in a better way. Better way in expressing ourselves than cussing. So what do I want to do? Number one, let's take a look at this one. Number one, the first thing that we've got to do and to get a better life in a better way is honestly ask ourselves, why do I cuss? Why? We think we know a lot of reasons, but why? It's going to boil down to basically two. See, some people just cuss. Like I said earlier, some people just cuss. They don't even realize they're cussing. That's just their vocabulary. That's the way they express themselves. They're thoughtless. They're not thinking about who's around or what they're saying. They're just throwing these four-letter words together, and they're coming out, and they're defiling the whole environment and everybody around. And so they're saying these things in the perversities and profanities, and they're just not thinking. They can't even formulate a good sentence that is expressive of what they're attempting to say, make their point. They're just expressing their character. So that's usually what we do. And another thing that we'll do as well is which shows if we do it that way, what we're really expressing is we're language limited. Another thing that we may do, and I don't really know anybody that does this, but you're language limited. Let me start to go over again. You're language lazy if you just won't go and get a good word, or you're language limited, and that's all you know is four-letter words. See, people are either language limited in that they just don't know better words, or they're language lazy in that they just won't go and scan their vocabulary and bring up a better word. They won't go and find a more intelligent word, a more meaningful word, a more word of expression that really expresses how they're feeling and what they're trying to come across with and make their point. They'd rather be a fool and be language lazy. So, you know, you're one or the other. You're one or the other. Now, there are people who only have limited language. They only have four letters in their word vocabulary. That's the best they can do. I just don't know any of those. And I think that Christians know better and know better words. So I ask you, are you language limited or are you language lazy? See, my suspicion is that we're language lazy. And we'd rather use the four-letter words in an attempt to express ourselves than go and scan our vocabularies and come out and sound intelligent and be intelligent and be expressive in what we're really attempting to say. To not just express our foolish characters, but to really communicate our point. And what happens when you begin to really work on this and begin to not use the four-letter foul words and you begin to scan your vocabulary and find better words and begin to use those better words, you'll eventually find yourself in a situation that used to make you cuss. But instead of cussing, you've used the intelligent word. You're not a fool anymore. You're proud of yourself. Your conscience is clear. People around you haven't heard you use profanities. They're seeing something happen in your life. You're able to communicate to them the hope that is within you. There's a better way than cussing. So why do you cuss? Are you language limited? Are you language lazy? Or maybe this is you. It's just the array of daily frustrations and aggravations and annoyances. They just get to you and you go out of control. And we've spent an extensive amount of time on this particular point. We've talked about this on two different lessons. You see, there's not going to be a day in your life where you're not going to have annoyances and you're not going to have aggravations and you're not going to have frustrations. You can lock yourself up in your house and you're still going to have annoyances and aggravations and frustrations. And you're probably going to have them several times a day. So does that mean you're going to cuss several times a day? I hope not. What you're really communicating is this, is that you're out of control. You're just out of control. You have no control of your emotions. You have no control of your attitude. You have no control of yourself. And what we have to learn how to do is control that attitude. Keep that attitude updated. Keep that attitude adjusted. We've talked about this. It's the firewall. It's what keeps stuff from getting to you, and it's what keeps stuff from getting out of you. And when that firewall goes down and that attitude gets sour, life gets sour. And these foul words start coming out of our mouth. So is that why you cuss? Because you're out of control. Lazy language. Limited language. The array of frustrations and aggravations in life. Is that why you cuss? Or maybe this is you. You are a person who is chronically in a bad mood. You hate everyone and everything, living and dead. And you go through every day of your life chronically being in a bad mood. Chronically cussing everything. Now to me, and probably most of you will agree with me, a chronic cusser, a chronic cursor, is one of the most repugnant people on the planet. They're mad, they cuss when they're mad, they cuss when they're glad, they cuss when they're sad. If they can't find something to cuss about, they'll create something to cuss about. They'll invent something so they can cuss. They're going to talk about people, they're just going to go off on people because they're chronically in a bad mood. And even you know, the casual cusser and the casual cusser is uncomfortable around the chronic cursor. Nobody likes to be around this person. And they justify themselves. They justify themselves by saying stuff like this. Well, at least you know how I feel. You know what? I don't care how you feel. In fact, I don't want to know how you feel. I wished you were someplace else doing what you feel. Right? And they're septic. You know, Jesus said it's out of the abundance of the heart. The heart is a treasure. And out of that treasure comes forth good treasures. And out of that heart also comes evil treasures. chronic person has a septic tank heart. And their mouth is a toilet. And their tongue is filth. Is that why you cuss? You're just chronically in a bad mood? Is that a reason? No, there is a better way. You've got to know. You've got to be able to tell me. No, there is a better way than doing that. There is a better way of doing life than doing that. So once you ask yourself, why do I cuss? You see, it's not just cussing. What we've learned over this series is cussing fuels other things. Cussing fuels anger. Cussing fuels rage. Cussing fuels malicious activity, doing mean things. Cussing fuels slander. It's not. Is that what you want to be? Is that a reason to cuss? Why do you cuss? You got to ask yourself that. And once you've determined those reasons, why do I cuss? Now you're maybe able to begin doing something, which is the second point that I want to make in what we're talking about is why there's better way. There's a better way than cussing. Number two, the second thing is just do the easy stuff first. What do you mean, Delbert? What do you mean? It's not easy to stop cussing. I've been trying for 4 weeks, and I can't stop. I know. But there are easy things that you can do. It's kind of like a diet. You know, when you first go on a diet, the weight just kind of drops off. You lose 2, 3, 4, 5 pounds a week because it's easy to start with. And it's that way with cussing. Initially, the casual cussing is far easier to stop than the chronic cussing or the causal cussing. You'll see yourself starting to drop some words because you're thinking about it, and it's like a diet. But then, like on a diet, you slip. You know, you slip up. And that's what's going to happen, likely, with your trying to clean up your language, is you're going to slip. And when you slip, when you're on a diet and you slip, you just throw your hands up and say, "Ah, I can't do this. I'm just going to get fat. You know, I can't do this." Is that what you do? No. You just try it again, right? And it's the same way. You're going to slip. So don't just throw your hands up and say, "I can't stop cussing. I'm just going to be a cusser all my life. I'm just going to be a vile person." No. Here's some things you can do. You don't quit cussing. I wished I could get every single person to do this. This works. When you slip, what if you wrote it down? Well, exactly what you said. Probably that alone would show you what a fool you were. Probably writing it and reading what you just said and how you made a fool of yourself, that's probably going to be enough. But if that's not, if you're still in a rage, you're still upset, but you wrote it down and you pushed it over to the side and you came back 2 days later when you'd calmed down and you read that out loud with the same intensity and attitude that you said it with, I'm telling you, that's going to impact you. But I can't get people to do that. If you never did it. So what can you do? Well, when you do slip, catch yourself, get aggravated with yourself and doing it. But then don't just throw your hands up and say, "Oh, I can't stop." No. Do what we just talked about. Scan your vocabulary. Find a better, a more intelligent, a more expressive word that you can utilize and put into that place. And then say it again. Say it out loud again. And if you'll keep doing that, eventually you're going to find yourself in a situation that used to make you cuss. But instead of using the wrong word, the dirty word, the four-letter word, you're going to find a seven-letter word or eight-letter word or six-letter word. You're going to find a word that's intelligent. And you're going to have a clean conscience. And people around you aren't going to say, "Whoa, listen to him, he's cussing." No, they won't be able to say that. They'll be saying, "Wow, will you tell me a little bit more about this hope that you have within you? Because I can't say anything bad about you. You've got something I want to have." So why do you cuss? And then start with the easy stuff first. Start with the easy stuff first. And then the third thing that I want to talk about. Cussing will cause you problems. Cussing will get you in trouble. Let me read you this verses from Proverbs 21:23. Says this: "He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity." Now, what does that mean? You can avoid wrecks. You can avoid crash and burns if you'll guard your mouth. You can avoid some really, really bad times in life if you guard your words and don't speak perversities. Look at this next verse, 15:1, Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. We've all done this, haven't we? Haven't we done this? Have you ever got mad at somebody and went off on them? And what did they usually do? They got stirred up, right? You stirred up the wrath in them. And this is what happens to every single one of us when these things happen. Cussing will get you in trouble. Cussing will cause you problems. Cussing will get you a broken nose. Or worse, cussing will get you cut. Cussing will get you shot. But not just a broken nose. Cussing will get you a broken marriage. A broken family. Broken heart. Broken dreams. Broken occupation. How many times have we missed opportunities because of our attitude and the words that we said? An opportunity comes along, a divine appointment that God set up for you, and you have this attitude and you say some curse words, and nobody cares how cool you curse. What they want to know is you're able to handle the things of life, the frustrations, the agitations, and the annoyances of life. Are there answers in you, not profanity in you? Can you communicate your point rather than communicate your foolishness and your anger? That's what people want to see. We miss opportunities because we have wrecks in life. We crash and burn. There's a better way than cussing. And it's far better. There's a lot of ways we can make a fool of ourselves. But we don't need to make a fool of ourselves cussing. That's number three. Cussing causes you so many problems in life. It'll cause you to crash and burn. Number four. The fourth thing that I want to say, and this is the longest one, it's the last one, but it's the longest one. The fourth one is mark the times in your life that you cuss. What am I talking about? There are times, specific times in your life, that if you can mark those times and you're aware of those times, you'll be prepared for those times. All right, let me show you, give you an example. Someone told me during our cussing conversation, I started to say cussing class, but this isn't a cussing class. It's a cussing series. Said, the only time I cuss is when I get around my old friends. I get around my old acquaintances, and I cuss. And I don't know what that says about your friends, but you know, what it does let you know is that this prepares you. You know this is likely to happen, and you've got to be prepared for it. Now, you can let your friends influence you, or you can go in there with the attitude, I'm not going to mess up. I am going to influence my friends. That's a little example. I'm going to give you a bunch of them. But what is it in your life that causes you to cuss? What is it that you could mark? Well, this particular thing will cause me to cuss because you can get prepared for it. Now, how about this one? Maybe you're around jerks, there's one or two jerks. See, we can usually get away from jerks. We don't have to be around jerks. But maybe you have a jerk at work. Or maybe your supervisor is a jerk. You know, and you can't just not be around your jerk. and we all have quirks and idiosyncrasies. I want to say idiosyncrasies slowly. Idiosyncrasies. We all are idiots sometimes. Right? But your jerk is an idiot all the time. How do you handle this? What do you do with this jerk? Okay. Here, let me just share with you just a little bit of what I know. You see, every jerk is a jerk for a good reason. They have a good reason to be a jerk. And all of us do. We're all jerks at some time. And at that particular time, we've got a good reason to be a jerk. So everybody has one, but what you have to do is you have to kind of get inside the life of this jerk, of this person. You empathize. You don't just sympathize. It's difficult to sympathize with a jerk, but you can empathize. If you can find out maybe a little bit about their childhood, what kind of home were they raised in? What kind of parents, or how many parents did they have? How many homes did they live in? What happened to them when they were a child? Were they married? Are they married? How many times have they been married? All those things are devastating. What are their children doing to them? What's their financial situation? Are they under a lot of financial stress? What about occupational stress? Do they have a lot of occupational stress on them? Are they healthy? Do they have hemorrhoids? I mean, you don't know. You know there's something wrong with this person, and I want to help. I don't want to be around this jerk. This jerk causes me to cuss and causes me to go bad. So what do you do? You empathize with that person. You learn something about that person, and you have to realize that you're not going to like every person all the time, and every person is not going to like you all the time. It just doesn't work that way. In fact, the people that you do like, you're not going to like all the time. And the people who like you are not going to like you all the time. Am I right? What about your own kids? Have you ever wanted to just disown your own kid? And let me tell you, your kid has wanted to disown you. And this is just how it is. So what I'm saying is, you got to give people a little space. You got to give them a little jerk space. Maybe that's what you say. You know, you just got to give them some space here. And what you'll find out is that if you'll empathize with them and you'll learn a little bit about why they're such a jerk, then you can begin to adjust your attitude towards them. And you can get that firewall built up so that they can't get to you as badly. And that stuff that's in you, they won't get out. And you'll find out that if you keep your attitude adjusted, that they're not nearly as trashy as they are when your attitude is trashy. Attitude is such an important part in cleaning up our language. Attitude is major. So what about that? Do you just have some jerks that cause you to cuss? Mark that. Be prepared for that. Begin to deal with that. How about this one? Does this might be something you would have marked. How about finances? Your personal finances. Does that ever give you an opportunity to cuss? I can remember the day when I would pay our bills and there just wasn't enough money, and we made a lot of money. And I would slam my fist on the desk. I would scream. Ah! Did that do anything to help me pay my bills? No. It didn't do anything. You know what? It did the opposite. Now listen, there is a social economic aspect of this thing. That cussing happens in social economic levels. For example, the lower you go in the social economic established systems, the more likely you are to use profanity. The lower in the ghetto areas and so forth, profanity is constant. So there's a social economic aspect of cussing and profanities and blasphemies and swearing and anger and those kinds of things. And it goes more as the social level goes lower. And those people just want to be heard. And so they use profanities and obscenities so somebody will hear them, because they just don't have any money. Now, money does not buy you manners. I understand that. But there is a similarity between the lack of money and profanity. It seems the less money people have, the more profanity people use. And do you know that the number one marital problem is money? Nearly all marital problems that people have relate back to the lack of money. And you know yourself that when you get mad about money and you start fussing at that spouse about money, it gets bad. Now, cussing your checkbook and cussing your creditors is not going to help your finances. You want it to, but it wasn't. It won't, right? It won't do it. In fact, it will cause the opposite. Okay, it'll cause you to bust a gasket. It'll cause you to have a stroke. It'll cause your blood pressure to go up and give you worry and tension. It'll cause you to do that. It'll add medical bills to your already straining finances because you broke your fist as you slammed it through the wall, or your foot when you kicked a hole in it, and now you can't go to work. And that's not to mention the cost of divorce. And I'm not just talking about the cost of divorce. I'm talking about the cost after divorce. See, all this stuff goes on because of money, because of finances. I want you to know there's a better way. There's a better way than cussing your checkbook and cussing the bank and cussing your creditors. What you've got to do is work on your attitude towards your finances. Do you know that nearly anybody can get themselves out of financial difficulty within 2 years? It's going to require a budget and a plan, and you've got to stick to it. You've got to have an attitude that's going to say, I'm going to do this. And you can't let other stuff get into you and take your money. And you can't let stuff get out of you that you want to take your money. You got to get that attitude right. And if you'll do that, what you're going to find is you're going to be out of that thing. Because there's a better way. There's a better way than cussing because of finances. There's a better way of cussing because of relationships. There's a better way of cussing because you're angry and you've lost control. Okay, I'm going to skip the next one. The next one is one I wanted to talk about. It's about distractions and interruptions in our lives. You know, what you got to do is just come to just quickly. What you got to do with distractions and interruptions is see them as opportunities that people need you. When I got that people weren't interrupting me, people needed me. And when I got that, it changed how I approached that. It wasn't anymore something to get me upset and frustrated about. It was something that I relished in. Somebody needs me. Somebody needs me. Their home is breaking up. They're sick in their body. They just lost a loved one. They just lost their job. That's not an interruption. That's an opportunity to help somebody. And you can read what I wrote there about that. Here's the last one I want to talk about. Now, this one, I think we all can relate to it. Does driving ever give you an opportunity? Could you mark that before you even pulled out of the driveway? Could you go ahead and mark that? I'm going to cuss. If you're going to drive any distance at all, it's one of the most amazing things. The calmest, kindest people that hardly ever curse become professional cursers when they get behind the wheel of an automobile. It's amazing to me. There's this transformation. It becomes demonic possessed. It's absolutely fascinating. And it happens, seems like, to everybody. You know, here is a goal of mine in life. This is one of my goals in life. Is to drive like an angel from heaven rather than a devil from hell. That is a goal I have in my life. And, you know, you just got to admit, because sometimes it's just pure joy to swear at a fool in another car. You just feel like, ooh, that's kind of fun. And it seems harmless, but it's not. The self-inflicted stress we put on ourselves when we do that. Your blood pressure goes up. You're stressing out. And you're going wacko because of that. And if there's anybody else in the car that has to endure your tirade, especially children, you know, your children hear it. And they don't only learn new words. They learn you cannot control yourself. That you can't control the frustrations, the aggravations, the annoyances of life that's going to happen to you every time you get behind the wheel. And so what they learn is, oh, this is how you do it. This is how you drive. You yell at people. You use profanities. That's a part of learning how to drive. And you know, another thing we've got to learn, and I make jokes about it, I did last week, but you know, we take it personal, but it's not personal. You know, those people don't know you. You know, I made the joke, you know, last week that I think there's a conspiracy. There's a plot. Every time I get on the road, they're going to block all the lanes. So I don't care how many lanes there are. There'll be five lanes. They're going to block all five lanes. He's on the road. Let's block him. That's how we feel, but that's not really how it is. See, we're likely never going to see that person again in 2 minutes. Likely. Now, when we do, we feel like a fool. I'm going to relay a story to you that I was told. It's a great story. It was before we did the cussing thing. I came in one Sunday and an individual came to me and said, they started telling me this story. I got behind a slow driver and was just really frustrated. You know how it happens. You just start boiling inside. You're just going off. Oh, at least go the speed limit. Come on, guy. You know, at least do something here. Speed up a little bit. Couldn't get around the person. Just going slow. Just finally gets to a place where they can get around. Finally gets to a place where they could zoom around, you know, and so they have every intention as they go around this individual to really release the anxiety and the frustrations that they had. You know, they're ready to go with it, you know, and so they're prepared. They're ready. They got it all built up, exactly what they're going to do, exactly what they're going to say. They're going to come around this car. You know how it is. And so they pull around the car and ready to go and looking over there, glaring. You don't have the glare. You have to glare. You know, they're doing the glare. And see that it's one of our dear, sweet elders in our church. Now who's the fool? You know, now what do you do? So rather than going through with it, of course, puts his hand back on the steering wheel, looks away, zips his mouth, looks away and speeds up, hoping that the church elder didn't notice him, see him, or say what he done. See, most of the times you'll never see these people again. But if you did, it would be good. Because it would make you think of what a fool you were. Isn't that good? Now, let's process this just a little bit. Well, you know, when you're in traffic and it's bumper to bumper and slowed down, you're just crawling along, and there's a car wanting to come out, and nobody let this car out, but you have compassion. And you stop. And you let this person pull out. And you wave them, and they wave at you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And they come out. And you've had compassion on this person. How do you feel? How do you feel? Do you feel good? Do you feel like cussing when you've done this? No, that doesn't even come into your mind. But if you're cantankerable, if you're cantankerous at that time, and you're angry. You're already cussing the person before. What are you? You can't get. I'm not letting you out. You know, and you're going off on this person. Say, this is what I'm wanting us to see. We got to have some angelic aspects of us to us when we're driving our automobiles. We can't be devils. And there's a better way. So we let the person out, or maybe this one. You know, when you're forgiving rather than being exploding. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, or somebody comes by you with road rage, and you forgive them. Does cussing come up in you? No, because you're not cussing when you're forgiving. But if you're exploding, it's there. It's on the tip of your tongue. And you're defiling the whole car. Right? Judy and I were coming back from Chattanooga, I think it was. And we got off at Ringgold, and we're coming in. There was the first light, not the light yet at right at Food Line, but the light just before it coming on 136 in this direction. And we pulled up behind this car. It stopped at the light. And it was an old guy, an older guy, that was in the car with his wife. And we pulled up behind him, and cars were behind us. Well, the light changed. He's not paying attention. And so, you know, if I were in my diesel, I just rev the motor because it's loud enough, and they know we need to move on. But I wasn't in my diesel, and so I just tooted the horn. Now I've been tooted at before, you know, not paying attention. I feel bad. You know, I apologize. I'm apologetic. I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. And I speed up trying to make up the time that I cost the people behind me, you know. But not this guy. This guy goes berserk. He has a tirade right there in his car. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know if he's about to come out and shoot me. I don't know what he's about. He's flailing his hands. He's yelling and screaming at his wife. You know, she's looking at him. Judy and I are looking at him. And, you know, and what's this guy going to do? Finally, he speeds up. Takes off and pulls over right there beside Food Line. And he's getting out of his car as we pass by to fight me. And I just look at the guy. You know, I just drive on by. Judy doesn't say a thing because she knows maybe I didn't see it. Because if she says anything about it, I might go back. She knows. And sometimes that devil comes out that when I'm driving a car. So, but anyway, I just went on by. So we get down the road about 2 miles. And she says, I wasn't going to say anything back there because I didn't know what you'd do. But did you see that guy get out of the car to fight you? And I said, yeah. She says, that didn't bother you? And I said, not that time. I was forgiving. Had I exploded, there's no telling what would have happened. I'd have been in the newspaper. Pastor from Lafayette beats up an old guy. You know, I mean, you just. So what I'm saying is that we've got to learn how to handle ourselves behind the wheel. We've got to become. There's a better way. There's a better way when you're forgiving. There's a better way when your attitude is where it needs to be. This stuff doesn't come up in you. This stuff doesn't come out of you because you're prepared for it. You have to mark these times so that you're being aware of them. What is yours? What is yours? What is yours? Is maybe one of yours drinking too much alcohol? You just get mean? People get mean when they drink alcohol. Do you get mean? Is that one? How about you just get tired? You just work yourself all the time. You're just wore out. You're grumpy. You don't have time for anybody. All you want to do is sit and anybody mess with you, get out of here. You know, you just, is that it? What is it? Because by understanding it and marking it, you can handle it and you won't cuss. There's a better way. There's a better way. Anything's better than cussing. You can't give me a good reason to cuss. There is not one. All it does is shows what a fool we are. It expresses our character, our foolish character, rather than the point we're wanting to amplify and really get across. So what is it with you? You language limited? Language lazy? Are you out of control because of frustrations and aggravations and annoyances that come along every day of your life? You'll never not have them. Are you just a chronically bad mood person? Is that you? Is that what you want to be? You want to be repugnant like that? Do you want to have a heart that's a septic tank? Listen, Jesus said you can have a heart that's a treasure chest. And rather than you being septic, what your heart can really be is a treasure chest, and your mouth can be gold and your tongue can be silver. That's what I want to be. Start with the easy stuff. When you slip, just fix it. And the next time it gets a little easier, and the next time it gets a little easier. Cussing will cause you problems. It'll break your nose, but it'll break your marriage, and it'll break your life. It'll break your dreams. What makes you cuss? Friends, relationships, jerks, finances, interruptions, driving behind the wheel of an automobile, alcohol. Just being too tired. Mark it. I'm telling you. You can curb your cussing. You can clean up your language. There's a better way that you can tell people of the hope of Christ that is in you. There's a way you can live with a clear conscience. There's a better way. There's a better way that people can look at your life and say, I want to be like that. I can't find anything malicious to say about this person. Will you tell me about the hope that you have in your life? I want what you got. Let me pray for us.